Amen. Boy, when the Lord's moving, you better take notice. You better mind him. Amen. All of you know what sacrifice means to the Lord, do you not? I mean, you study the scripture throughout the Word of God, you see how important sacrifice is. But boy, I find in another place, it hit me one night. I was laying in the bed. There's something more important than the sacrifice. Through all the Old Testament, the sacrifice is all about the sacrifice. But the Lord said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Amen. You better mind the Lord this evening. Amen. I don't have to preach. I don't have to be the one. I just want to get in on it. Amen. If the Lord just have his way, that's all right with me. Amen. I just want the Lord to get done what he wants to do. Amen. Boy, we're standing at a pivotal time in our country. I believe we're at a pivotal time in our churches. This thing could about go either way. This meeting is no doubt tonight is at a pivotal time. It could go either way. We could get real high tonight and then just fall off. But, you know, God's got something better than that for us. Amen. We need to mind the Lord and just trust him and do what he'd have us to do. Have your Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I've searched and I've begged God to show me what he'd have for us this evening. And I thought I had something a while ago, but this God said just a few moments ago, this is where we need to be. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm not really going to take a certain text, but I do want to give you something by way of introduction. Most of you are very familiar with Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me say, first of all, the association of the chapter. It's associated as being known as the Hebrews Faith Hall of Fame. Amen. The Hall of Fame of Faith. I don't know if you know much about Hall of Fames or not, but I got to looking up some and studying. And did you know that up in Springfield, Massachusetts, they have what's known as the NBA Hall of Fame, National Basketball Association. You can go up there and walk through that building. You'll find all kinds of pictures and trophies and names of different people that accomplished great things in the basketball world. You can go out to Charlotte, North Carolina, and you'll find the NASCAR Hall of Fame. They hadn't had that one up too long, but you can go over there now and you can find Richard Petty in there and Davy Allison and some of these others, you know, that's done great things in the racing world. You can go up to Cooperstown, New York. They've got the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. You can walk through that building up there and you can find those like Babe Ruth and you can find those like Ty Cobb that stole so many bases and others that hit so many home runs and done all these things. They made it to the Hall of Fame. You can go up to Canton, Ohio, and there's the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Amen. Walk through that building, find men that's done great accomplishments in the football world. Amen. But did you realize that God has a Hall of Fame of faith? Right here it is in Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll read verse number 1 and then we'll pray and you can be seated. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Father, we love you tonight and we're thankful, God, that you've allowed us the privilege just to be here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for moving in our midst and speaking to our hearts and, Lord, doing what you've already done. But I pray, God, for the next few minutes of time that you'd continue to help us, Lord, and continue to work and get glory to your name out of everything that's said and done. And whatever you do, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you and we'll give you the glory for it. Lord, for it's in Christ's precious and holy name that we do pray and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The association of Hebrews chapter number 11 is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. But then let's look very quickly at the accomplishment accompaniment in Hebrews chapter number 11. I love to read down through this chapter and find all these names of those that done great deeds for the glory of God. Amen. In Hebrews chapter number 11, the first one that you'll find in there's Abel. That's in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You go on down to verse number 5, and Enoch has made it into the hall of fame of faith. Verse number 7, there's old Noah. Amen. Noah's in the hall of fame of faith. Verses 8 and down and following, you'll find Abraham. And Sarah is in the hall of fame of faith. All the way down in verse number 20, you're going to find Isaac that made it into the hall of fame of faith. Verse 21, there's Jacob. Verse 22, there's Joseph. I like verse number 23. You find Moses' parents made it into the hall of fame. I tell you tonight, what we're needing in America is some moms and dads that would sell it in their heart that they're going to do what God would have them to do in raising their children. Amen. Everybody's talking about needing to have a youth revival, needing to have another youth meeting. I tell you, I believe in my heart, I know what we need. We need a good old-fashioned parent revival in America tonight. Amen. That's what we're needing. In verse 23, there's Moses' parents. Verse 24 and following a little ways, there you're going to find Moses is in the hall of fame of faith. Verse number 30, you're going to find that Joshua made it into the hall of fame of faith. Verse 32 and following talks about those others. Amen. There's a few names mentioned immediately there in verse number 32. There's Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Japheth, and David also, and Samuel. And it goes on to talk about these others that's not even mentioned by name. Amen. My soul, I'm interested one day after a while when I get to glory is finding out about them others. Amen. But all of these made it in the hall of fame of faith. And by the way, it don't matter that we know their name or not. God knows who they are. Amen. So there's the accompaniment of Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's look very briefly then at some of the accomplishments found in Hebrews chapter number 11. There's Abel's sacrifice. Amen. Offered a blood sacrifice, whereas his brother offered a sacrifice from the works of his hands. Amen. And Abel's sacrifice got him into the hall of fame of faith. There's Enoch. Boy, I like to study about old Enoch. Enoch had a testimony that he walked with the Lord. Amen. Got him in the hall of fame of faith. There's Noah. Thank God for Noah. He moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that there was a time when nobody could. I mean, there wasn't no righteous nowhere, but there was one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That was Noah. Abraham and Sarah don't have time to talk about all that they accomplished, but you know how God used them, how God used Abraham to become the father of his chosen people. Amen. How that they had a child in old age. Amen. All through faith. So Abraham and Sarah's in there. And there's verse 20. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. And there's Jacob when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. There's Joseph. Boy, you're talking about a good study in the Old Testament. A good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ back through the Old Testament in the life of Joseph. And there he is in the Hall of Fame. And there's Moses' parents again. Y'all remember the story when Moses was born. There was a decree put out upon the land. All these firstborn or these young-born Hebrew boys were to be killed. But Moses' parents saw that he was a goodly child and hid him for 3 months. Amen. Then when they'd done all they could do, they turned him over to the Lord. Put him down yonder in a little ark of bulrushes. You know the story how Pharaoh's daughter came down yonder. Yeah, I like that, don't you? Goes down yonder and finds that little baby boy laying in the ark of bulrushes. And about that time, he began to cry. And God put a love in the heart of Pharaoh's daughter for that boy and drew him out of the water. And there's Moses' sisters hanging out yonder in the midst. She runs out and said, would you like me to go find one of these Hebrew ladies to nurse him for you? Boy, ain't that good. I'm telling you what. She said, yeah, and tell her when you find her that I'll even pay her wages. What about that? There's you talking about God intervening. Amen. Let the devil pay for them to raise her own boy. What about that? Amen. And let me say something else about Moses' parents. They didn't have him a long time, but they had him at the most important time when he was real small, and they had him, and boy, they took advantage of what time they did have him. Mama, Daddy, you listen to me for just a moment. You better take advantage of the time that God has given you with your children. They won't be running around the house long, but Lord, help us while they're there. Help us instill everything we can about the glory of God and the salvation through Jesus Christ. We better give it to them while we can, because there was enough put into Moses that 40 years there in the palace of Pharaoh, it wasn't enough to take out what time that Moses' mother had with that little baby boy. I'm telling you, we better put everything we can into him. Amen. So Moses' parents are there. And then you know about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Next youth meeting I believe I am going to preach on this, of when he was come to years. You know what's breaking my heart in our churches? When our teenagers, when our young people are getting old enough to start making up their own minds, they're leaving our churches. My. God help us. I'm praying that when these young people, a whole bench full right up here on the front, I'm praying that when it comes up to them and they decide whether they go to the house of God or not, I'm praying that moms and dads have put enough in them to where when they can make up their own mind, they're going to go ahead and go with God anyhow. Amen. Oh my, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God, amen, than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Amen. Y'all know what God done through Moses. And then there's old Joshua. After they did cross over into Canaan, there was Jericho, that great city with all that walls surrounding the city. You know what God told Joshua? He said, I want you to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march around her seven times. Now don't make no noise until that seventh time. And then I want you to shout with a great shout. And God gave them the city of Jericho. And Joshua led God's people into the promised land. And then we get a little idea. We see some accomplishments that are found in Hebrews chapter number 11. Those others, some of those were tortured, not receiving deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't know. Listen, friend, but if God had a hall of fame of faith now, I wonder if there'd be any candidates in the building. I wonder if there'd be any of us even interested in making it to the hall of fame. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Brother Barry, don't think God's got a hall of fame. Hebrews 11 is all we needed. Amen. And I don't think up in heaven somewhere there's this big hall of fame. Amen. If there was, there'd only be one inductee. Amen. There wouldn't be nobody else worthy to be in the hall of fame in heaven other than the darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that would be worthy to be put in the hall of fame in heaven. But if there was, if there was one, would there be anybody interested in making it into the hall of fame in heaven? Well, preacher, you better be careful. You're going to sound like you're going to get a little bit cocky. Let me say something this right now. Don't you hear me? Hear me well. I don't know about you, but I want to do all I can for the glory of God. I do want to be the best that I can be for the glory of God. If you're going to build a football team, and if, just listen, if you don't know much about sports, you're going to get the story. If you're going to build a football team, you'll never build a championship football team with some boys that's just happy to be on the team. Ain't that right? I'm just glad they gave me a jersey. Look at my pretty shining helmet. I'm just glad to be on the team. I don't get to play none, but I get to sit on a bench and they let me give the others some water every now and then. If you've got a whole team like that, I don't even know if you're going to win a game. Much less have a championship out of it. Ain't that right? I mean, I'm just being honest. Well, if I'm going to build me a football team, I'm going to find me some fellas that I would take a Mack truck. If I gave one of them the ball, I want to find one that it would take a Mack truck to keep him from getting into the end zone. Amen. I mean, that's what you want. You want somebody that's got some go. You want somebody that's got some grit. You want somebody that's willing to do all they can, that's willing to sacrifice in the weight room. Amen. That's willing to get up real early in the morning and run their laps and willing to spend some time studying the playbook. Amen. You will have to find some folk that's got it in their heart to be the best they can be. But I'm afraid while we're trying to build our churches, we've just got a bunch of folk that's just glad to be on the team. Amen. Well, I'm build me a cabin in the corner of glory. Hogwash. Don't believe they know cabins in glory, period. Amen. Well, that's as long as that's our attitude. We're just happy. Preacher, I'm not saying this is bad, but all there, some folk, I'm just glad I'm saved. Listen, sister, I'm glad I'm saved too. Amen. But we don't need to get satisfied with just being saved. Well, I'm glad I don't have to worry about going to hell. Thank God I'm glad I don't have to worry about going to hell either. Amen. But thank God there's something more than getting saved, not going to heaven, or not going to hell, but getting to go to heaven. There's more to it than that. My. We need to find some folk that would say, if God did have a hall of fame, I want to do everything I can, not for my glory, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do everything I can to make it, if that's what God has for me. Amen? If God's got one, I don't think he does now. I just want to clear that up. If he's got one, I'd want to be in it. That ain't cocky. There ain't nothing cocky about that. I just want to do the best I can for the glory of God. Now, if we want to do the best we can so we can see our names and lights and get all the glory and get all the attention, we've done messed up anyhow. Amen. This thing ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't about whose name's on the billboard. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about sinners being saved by his marvelous grace. It's all about him getting all the glory. That's what it's about. Amen. Well, if we get people motivated to want to do something for God. If we get folks motivated to kill their cattle and move everything out of the way so we could go after God with every ounce of our being, it'd be amazing what you could see even in 2012. Y'all couldn't get a good motivational speaker in here. A lot of football teams do that. They'll find a good motivational speaker to come in. They've done it at halftime, some of these basketball games. There'll be some big pro come in during halftime, try to give them a pep talk. And that's something about that. That fires them up. Amen. Man, you should have heard what he said. You should have seen who came in there. I'm ready to play ball. Well, we can get a big motivational speaker to come in here and just really fire us up. And I'll say this, it don't matter who you get to come in here. I got something worked better than any of it. If Calvary won't motivate you to want to do something for him, I don't give a rip who comes in here and tries to be the speaker. I don't even care what they've got to say. If Calvary is not enough to motivate me and you to do the best we can do for the glory of God, I don't know of anything that'll work. Amen. I'm telling you, all it takes is take a good look back yonder at Calvary and see what Jesus done to keep you out of hell and get a place for you in heaven. If that won't motivate you to try to do something for God, nothing will, friend. Nothing will. Boy, just take you a good look back at Calvary. And then like it was said a while ago, remember where you came from. Oh, I seen something about that Psalm 40. You may already seen it, but that's if you have already seen it, act like you ain't, all right? We used to sing that song at our church all the time called He Lifted Me Out. Y'all remember that? I like it. Don't stop singing it. I like it. But that ain't exactly what the psalmist said. He didn't say lifted me out. Y'all notice what he said? He brought me out. Now, if he just lifted us out, that means that up above the horrible pit, he could have just reached down his hand. That sounds good. He could have just reached down his hands and got a hold of us and lifted us out. But when you change that from lifted to being brought, that means he done more than bent over and reached down. No, if he brought us out, he got down in there with us where we was. Thank God got a hold of us down in our horrible pit, and he brought us. He had to come to where we was to get us out of that horrible pit. Something like that won't motivate you to try to do something for God. I don't know anything else it will. I'm glad he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah, clay. Well, that makes me want to do something for him. I mean, that's our nature. If somebody does something for you, they in turn, there ought to be something in you to want to do something for them. Well, if I came to your house and grabbed up all your bills and said, you ain't going to have to worry about none of these. I'm going to take care of every single one of them. I'm telling you, you would feel obligated down in your heart to do something then for me. I can't do that. So don't think I'm coming. Amen. But it would cause an obligation. It'd cause a feeling in you. Well, if anything I can do for you, just let me know. Ask for it because he'll let you know. He'll let you know. If God's got a hall of fame in heaven, I want to be in it. I want to do what I can for his glory. And if I'm going to do this, if I'm just going to be a church member, I want to be the absolutely best church member that I could possibly be. Amen. Well, let me say something about church members. A good one's hard to find. Listen, this is on the second time I've ever been here. I don't know y'all very well. And y'all ought to be glad y'all don't know me very well. Amen. But I will say this, good church members, hard to find. Best one I ever had, I'll never forget her as long as I live. I pastored for 17 years. And out of them 17 years, there's one church member that always stick out in my head. A lady, she wasn't very old at all. Actually, about middle age when I took the church. And you're talking about a sweet little old lady. See, it wasn't the fact that she loved the church so much, and it wasn't the fact that she loved me and my family so much. It's just simple fact she loved the Lord so much. Preacher, she'd call every day, every other day at least, and say, Preacher, is there anything I can do for you? And she'd call my wife and say,
Sister Jeannie, is there anything possibly I could do for you? I love you so much, and I just want to do what I can. One day we come home, and she had been to the store, been to the Goodies or been to some clothing store, and there were six new dresses laying in our living room when we got home. She just brought them and bought them for my wife. Now, it wasn't all that made her so good. Here's what's something real special about her. Every time we had church, it didn't take nothing. She was weeping and a worshiping. I'm telling you, she didn't have to have three or four songs to pump her up. She'd come through the back door already weeping and a-praising the Lord. Oh, she was the secretary, she was treasurer of our Christian school. We started a little old Christian school over there. And she was our treasurer. And there was some times, our little old Christian school, we got down to nearly nothing. I mean, listen, we thought we might even have to close the doors. We got down to $35 in the account one time. About that time, our phone rang. And on the other end, we picked it up, and all we could hear was, "Preacher, I just got to tell you how good God is." She went out and checked the mail, and God sent a little check in. I mean, son, she just worshiped God over any little old thing. She got cancer. 55 years old. Got cancer. And you're talking about something that hit her hard. And boy, you're talking about rapid. She got real sick. I'm like, Lord, why the jewel? Why the prize? I mean, but God knows what He's doing. I watched her worship God through every bit of that. She'd come to church, hair all gone. She'd wear a little old bandana and try to cover up her bald head. She'd come in. She didn't care about that bald head. She didn't let nothing stop her. She'd eat up cancer and been in chemotherapy treatments all week. And she'd come in and say, "Boy, God's been good to me. I just love Him and I thank Him." Thank God. If there is a hall of fame in heaven, I'd say she's made it. She just loved the Lord. If she was too sick to come to church, it was to the point, Brother Barry, I'd think, Lord, if she ain't going to be there, ain't going to be nothing happen today.
What about that?
She carried the fire. She was the fire starter. She was the worshiper. I'd almost dread church if she wasn't going to be there. Boy, I tell you what Rogersville Baptist Temple needs is some folk in here, and I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about a whole crowd. Brother Barry'd almost dread church if he thought y'all wasn't going to be here. Amen. Brother Barry'd look over at his wife and say, "Well, oh, they ain't going to be there today. I just wonder if anything's going to happen." Amen. I'm telling you, there's no reason why every single one of you can't be that way. The only reason you can't, you don't want to be bad enough. Maybe you don't love Him enough. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to say, if there is a hall of fame, we ought to have a desire in our hearts to be in it.
Right.
Now, I've not even got to the message yet. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I was looking through this chapter. Y'all want to be in the hall of fame if God had one? I don't believe He does, but if you know what I'm saying. How many of you like to be? I want you to raise your hand. Let it be a witness. Amen. Preacher, I want to. If God's got one, I want to do it. I want that to be a witness to you then. I got something to help you if you really want to be. If you really, I mean, if you meant that, you'd like to do something for God, I got something to help you. Y'all's talking about, and this is what got me stirred up, Brother Barry. Talking about where we came from. Amen. I was looking through these verses in chapter 11. And one evening, something jumped out at me, like, I thought, wait just a minute. I'd read that 1,000 times, and I knew it was there. But boy, God never showed it to me like He showed it to me that day. Y'all heard those names, the accompaniment in Hebrews chapter number 11. Y'all heard all those names. I skipped somebody. Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
Just kind of seemed to skip one. When I seen that person was in the Hall of Fame of Faith, that done something to me. What do you mean, preacher? There is a harlot in the Hall of Fame. Oh, well, that's run chills up my back. There's a harlot in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Did y'all see that? I want to show it to you. Verse number 32, or verse number 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith, look here, verse 31. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Your Bible said what mine said, didn't it? The harlot Rahab. You'd think in the Hall of Fame of Faith, my soul, she's going to be put up in there in the Hall of Fame. They'd at least leave the tag off. Wouldn't you thought it? But they even left the tag on. The harlot, Rahab. That may not have done nothing for you. But when I seen there's a harlot in the Hall of Fame, that helped me. Everywhere you see Rahab, except one place, it's always tagged. Rahab the harlot or the harlot Rahab. Now, I think y'all are smart enough to know what a harlot is. I'm not going there. However, we do seem to place our sin in certain levels. Y'all ever notice that? It seems like we got some down here that ain't so bad. Oh, then we got them real gross sins. I'm talking about those that's real bad. We put them way up here on top. Well, if I was going to do that, I believe that being a harlot would fall pretty high up the ladder, wouldn't you? I mean, that's a lifestyle. By the way, if you're just doing those little things, you're just as rotten as the harlot that's living that lifestyle. Well, if that ever settle in on a bunch of dignified Baptist folk, I believe that'd help us. Amen? Oh, yeah, you may have never been in the bar. You may have never sold your body. You may have never done no major gross things. You may not be committing adultery. But I want to tell you, everybody in here tonight was a sinner without God on the same road to hell. And every one of us deserved to be there this evening. Regardless how good your sin is or how bad your sin is. We all got to have the same condemnation upon each one of us. But a harlot. I can see Joseph being in there, can't you? Joseph, I mean, when Potiphar's wife came and wanted him to lie with her and grabbed a hold of his garment, he just took off running. I can see Joseph making it in there. Faithful in the pit, faithful in the prison, faithful in the palace. I can see Joseph being in there. Moses led God's children out of the Egyptian bondage and crossed over the Red Sea. I can see Moses being in there. Can't you?
Yes, sir.
But a harlot. A tagged harlot. It's in the Hall of Fame. Preacher, I don't know where you're going with it. Hang on just a minute. I'll tell you. If you really want to do something for God, there's nothing that should keep you from doing it.
Oh, that's good.
Some of you have let the devil beat you over the head. Because where you used to be, because of what you used to be, and because of what you've done, the devil's told you you'll never be nothing for God. He can't never use you. You'll never be able to do nothing for the glory of God. You just might as well settle on being a nobody. You might as well just settle on being a bench warmer. He'll lie to you. Because if a harlot can make it in the Hall of Fame, any of us ought to qualify. Amen. When I saw a harlot was in the Hall of Fame, I got three little things and I'm done. When I saw a harlot was in the Hall of Fame, that told me, number one, perfection is not required. Oh, that don't mean much to y'all, but see, you're just about that way. You're just almost perfect. But you're looking at one this evening that's absolutely full of mistakes and full of faults and full of failures. And oh, if it depended on me trying to be perfect, being good enough, I'd never be nothing for God. I wouldn't even be able to make it to glory. But thank God, He relied on me and being perfect. It's all about Him being perfect. Thank God, because He was perfect. I've been made perfect through Christ. Don't matter if you got faults. No, and I'm not belittling your faults. I believe we ought to get right, stay right, walk her straight, preach her straight, run it straight. I believe we ought to live it right now. But I'm telling you, friend, don't let the devil use your faults and failures and your mistakes against you. You can still be something for God. If He can take me and get anything out of me, He can take any of y'all and get something out of you. Quit using that old lame excuse about where you've been, what you've done. He took a murderer, friend, and made him the greatest preacher throughout the New Testament in the Apostle Paul. I'm going to tell you, if he was chief among sinners, he ought to be able to do something with all of us this evening. Perfection is not required. Your past will not keep you from it. Now, she wasn't just a harlot. She was a pagan. Y'all hear me? She wasn't just a harlot. She was a pagan. God didn't let none of that past keep her from doing something for the glory of God. Now, maybe compared to some of the others in Hebrews 11, maybe her accomplishment wasn't as big in the eyes of man. Let me tell you something. God don't make no mistakes. And our King James Bible is without error. And God put her in Hebrews 11 for some reason. He didn't make a mistake. Oh, I shouldn't put her in there. No, she's in there for a reason. Them spies came to her house and she hid those spies. Y'all know the story. Friend, that accomplishment. And by the way, our success for the Lord's not measured in how big our accomplishments are.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I'm glad God's not going to hand out the rewards on how big our churches was. Some of the best preachers I know are hid in some of these hollers. Nobody knows their names. They don't preach no revivals. They just pastor and lead their little flock that God's given them. It's not measured on how big the accomplishment. Nobody may ever know your name. You may never even get a pat on the back. But as long as you're doing what God has told you to do, if you're just keeping the church clean, but you're doing it for the glory of God, if God's got a Hall of Fame, you just might make it. Because it's not measured on how big the work is. It's measured on how faithful we are and how we're doing it out of a heart of love for God. And that's what it's all about. Your past ain't going to keep you from it. Perfection is not required. And when I seen a harlot was in the Hall of Fame, that also told me that pardon can be delivered. If God will forgive her and put her in the Hall of Fame, nothing you've done can keep you from keeping God from forgiving you and letting you do a great work for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
We'll show you the difference, and I'm done. Every place you look, the harlot Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Except in one place.
Yes, sir. I've been with that.
Matthew chapter 1. The lineage of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Well, the lineage of Christ. No tags. When it's concerning the blood. No past. No history. No faults. No failures. Boy, if you look in there, it ain't just Rahab. Even changed the spelling. For some reason, there's a C in her name when a C used to not be there. Well, I believe Jesus, the Christ, makes all the difference in the world. Woo! It's the blood of Jesus Christ that made all the difference in this old wretch that was headed for hell. It was Jesus that made all the difference. I want to do something for God. He's done so much for me. I'm the most blessed person on earth. God's been good to me. If I could just do something, if I could just do something for Him, I want to give Him my life. Take me, Lord. Do with me as you please. And I ain't going to let the devil beat me over the head on what I've done, where I've been. Because the blood took care of all that. I believe with all of my heart, if you want to do something for God, God will let you. Won't you get a hold of that right there? Girls, God will let you do something for God. Oh, I have to go to church. No, God lets me go. I got to go preach it. No, I get to go preach again. It's an honor. Thank you, Lord, for letting me do something. If you're just cleaning the toilets around the church, thank God, God's letting you do something for Him. If you get the hand out of gospel track, God's letting you do something for Him. I'm trying to quit. Oh, but it's too good. I'm glad, thank God, God will let you do something for me. If you want to. Only thing that's going to keep you from it is your lack of wanting. And I believe with all my heart this week, church, the only thing that's going to keep us from having revival will be the lack of want. Just simply a lack of wanting. Blessed art thou who doeth hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. America's in pitiful shape. I don't know how you feel about it or what, but don't change the fact we're in trouble. And church, if we don't experience revival, and don't you dare look at me and tell me we can't have it.
Right, right.
I know it's a late day. And I know it's a late hour. But friend, my God's still on the throne. And still has all power in heaven and earth. And if He wants to revive His people here in Rogersville, Tennessee, God can still do it. Don't let your own doubt keep us from it, friend, and your lack of wanting it. Because God's got the ability to send it and give it if we want it bad enough. Hey, some of your children, your grandchildren, they some of their souls and their lives hanging in the balances. And whether we get revival or not, this county's hanging in the balance. And if this church or some church somewhere close don't get revival, God only knows what lies ahead for our children. This thing's vital. Oh, it's important. If you want it, you can get it. But please don't let your cattle stop you. Don't let your past stop you. Don't let your mistakes keep you from it. Go after it with everything in you. And don't stop until you get it. Our prayer ought to be Isaiah's prayer. I'm closing. Isaiah 64. Isaiah began to weep and cry. And he started his prayer with a single letter word. He said, oh. I don't think he just said, oh. I believe it was an inner, deep expression of desire. When he said, oh, that thou would have rent the heavens and come down. That needs to be our prayer tonight. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. And if that's not your prayer, if that's not your heart's desire, pray it this way. Oh, that thou wouldst give me the desire for the presence and the power of God. But I believe we want it by now. I believe God's not going to dangle it on a string and keep it from us. If we want it, God's going to give it to us. I don't know your heart's desire. Many of you have already been in the altar tonight. Please mind the Lord. If you have to, get in here and beg God. Beg God to use you. Beg God to forgive you. There might be somebody here tonight lost, never been saved. God showed you tonight. The devil's been lying to you, telling you God can't save you. If he can save a harlot, he can save you. You won't be no match for him. He can handle you. He can take care of your stinking sin. Amen. He can take care of mine. He can take care of yours. Quit letting the devil lie to you. Today could be the day. Hey, y'all remember, this could be your place. It could be your place. I don't know your hearts. Head bowed and eyes closed.